We'll continue our study in Psalm 18. I'm reading from Psalm 18, verses 19 to 27. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me, and his statutes I did not put away from me. I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from my guilt. So the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. With the merciful you show yourself merciful. With a blameless man you show yourself blameless. With the purified you show yourself pure. And with the crooked you make yourself seem tortuous. For you save a humble people, but the haughty eyes you bring down. Now we must remember that David wrote this psalm of praise and victory on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. We read in Psalm 18 verse 1, right in the first verse, to the choir master, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who addressed the words of this song to the Lord on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, I love you, O Lord, my strength. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord made David the king of all Israel, and he gave David victory over the nations that oppressed his rule. And we find the details of that in 2 Samuel chapter 5, where David is anointed as king. And then in 2 Samuel chapter 8, he speaks about his victories. And then in 2 Samuel chapter 10, where David defeats the armies of Ammon and Syria. David then writes the psalm of praise, psalm of victory. And we said last time that the Hebrew language contained 23 different words for deliverance, and that the Jewish people obviously knew something about deliverance. Because throughout their history, we find God delivering them from their enemies. Now, how do we experience deliverance? Psalm 18 tells us, in verses 1 to 18, God delivers us when we call upon him. And then we read in verses 19 to 27, which we are going to study now, God rewards us when we obey him. And then in verses 28 to 45, God equips us when we submit to him. And from verses 46 to 50, God is glorified when we worship him. Now we looked at verses 1 to 18 last time, and we will study verses 19 to 27. For several years, David had been forced to live in confined places while he was fleeing from Saul. And those confined places were surely not easy to live in. And more than once, David fled to a cave to save his life. And then God brought him out of such caves and places of confinement into a large place. We read in Psalm 18, verse 19, he brought me out. Obviously, he brought David out from a place of confinement, most likely from hiding in a cave. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. God delivers us when we call upon him. We saw that last time. And he brings us out of our caves and places of confinement and places our feet in a broad place of freedom. And many of us know how important it is now to cry out to God for such deliverance. And we are getting to know what quarantine means and what confinement is. And in such times of distress, God's word encourages us to call upon him. And we will then experience his deliverance because he is a God of mercy. Psalm 18 verse 19 says, he rescued me because he delighted in me. He rescued me because he delighted in me. David was a man after God's own heart. And God delighted in David. This is also what God says regarding his only begotten son. In Matthew 3 verse 17. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. This happened when Jesus was baptized. It is important for us to delight in God and to enjoy God's presence. And when we do so, what happens is that God reveals his heart to us and our desires become God's desires. Psalm 37 verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Because when we delight ourselves in the Lord, we get to know what God's will is and we are burdened with God's burdens and we want to do his will. And he will give us the desires of our hearts because the desires of our hearts are now are his desires. And this is how we know and this is how we do God's will in our lives. When we get close to his heart, then he reveals his will to us. But we must also know that God delights in us. God delights in us. Not only do we delight in God, but God delights in us. As parents and grandparents, we enjoy delighting in our children and in our grandchildren. And the past more than a week now, it's been such a blessing to have our granddaughter at home. And I keep telling her, whenever I lift her up, I say, Tabitha, you're Appacha's delight. You're Appacha's delight. In a similar way, God wants to delight in us. He wants to delight in us. Because God delights in us, he delivers us. He uses the difficult experiences that we go through in life to make us bigger. That's what God does. Psalm 18 verse 19, he brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Psalm 18 verse 36, you gave a wide place for my steps under me and my feet did not slip. When God puts us in a large place, he gives us bigger feet, so to speak. David says in Psalm 4 verse 1, answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. Psalm 4 and verse 1. You have given me relief when I was in distress. The King James Version, the same Psalm, Psalm 4 verse 1. The King James Version says, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. God delivers us so that he can put us into a larger place. He does this to enable us to take giant steps of faith for his glory. David had gone through several years of confinement, times of difficulty, times of persecution, times of sorrow. But when it was all over, he was a bigger man. So let God put you into a large place so that he can enable you to take giant steps of faith for his glory. So the trials of life, definitely they are not easy, surely not easy. But in God's will, each of those trials have a purpose. I do not know how you're feeling now, but many are feeling what it means to be confined. Are you feeling confined at the moment? I don't know. Remember that God delights. He delights in delivering you from confinement. In these difficult times, God will build your faith if you would just let him use the trial for his glory. Psalm 18 verse 6. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple and my cry came before him. My cry came before him even into his ears. Now the word distress there, it actually means to be in a tight place, in a corner, hemmed in. But when the storm was over, David found himself in a large place. Then he could take large steps of faith in serving the Lord. Psalm 18 verse 36, the King James Version. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. David faced enlarged trials. In Psalm 25 verse 17 we read, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distress. So he's calling upon God because the troubles in his life have enlarged. But what happened? God used those trials to enlarge David. Psalm 4 verse 1. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Now David wasn't perfect, and neither are we perfect, but David was a man after God's own heart. God knew David's heart. King Saul had deliberately sinned against God, and through the prophet Samuel, God spoke to King Saul in 1 Samuel 13 verse 14. Samuel tells Saul, "But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." David was given a shepherd's heart. In Psalm 78, verses 70 to 22, "He chose David his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the nursing ewes, he brought him to shepherd Jacob his people, Israel his inheritance. With upright heart he shepherded them and guided them with his skillful hand." Parents delight in children when they mature in character, when they see obedience and service in the lives of their children. They delight in their children. And God delighted to see David mature into a man after God's own heart. And David was faithful to the Lord. Psalm 18 verses 20 to 24. "The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands he rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me and his statutes I did not put away from me. I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from my guilt. So the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight." In Psalm 17 verses 3 to 5 we read, "You have tried my heart, you have visited me by night, you have tested me, and you will find nothing. I have purposed that my mouth will not transgress. With regard to the works of man, by the words of your lips, I have avoided the ways of the violent. My steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped." David was faithful to the Lord. That's what we read in Psalm 18 verses 20 to 24. In Psalm 18 verses 20 to 24 we read that David was faithful to the Lord. And so the Lord was faithful to David. David was faithful to the Lord, Psalm 18 verses 20 to 24. And so what we see is the Lord was faithful to David, Psalm 18, same Psalm, verses 25 to 29. Psalm 18 verses 25 to 29. "With the merciful you show yourself merciful, with the blameless man you show yourself blameless. With the purified you show yourself pure, and with the crooked you make yourself tortuous. For you save a humble people, but the haughty eyes you bring down. For it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall." Psalm 18 verses 25 to 29. David's affirmation of righteousness is an evidence of honesty and humility, not pride and deception. In fact, the ESV rightly translates Psalm 18 verse 26. With the purified, you show yourself pure. Very, very correct translation. With the purified, you show yourself pure. So David's purity was not based on any self-righteousness, but on the fact that he knew he was a forgiven sinner. And that's the basis of our standing also before God. We are able to access the very throne room of God, call God Abba Father, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. Our purity is based on the finished work of Christ on the cross. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Hebrews 9, verse 14. "How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Later on in Psalm 32, David writes of the blessedness of being forgiven. In Psalm 32 verses 1 and 2, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. A forgiven person can experience righteousness and cleanness being imparted by God into his life. I repeat again, a forgiven person can experience righteousness and cleanness being imparted by God into his life. David, therefore, speaks honestly of righteousness and cleanness. Psalm 18 verse 20. The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me. The forgiven sinner lives a righteous and a clean life. How? Because the power of God is at work in him. He is also rewarded for his life of righteousness. He is rewarded for his life of righteousness. So the Lord has rewarded me. Psalm 18 verse 24. So the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. The forgiven sinner can also experience a guilt-free, blameless life. Psalm 18 verse 23. I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from my guilt. Again, verse 25. With the merciful, you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you show yourself blameless. David also had skillful hands. In Psalm 18, verse 34, we read, he trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. Now, for us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, every battle that we as believers fight, we fight against the enemy, every battle is a spiritual battle. It's not a physical battle. So we must be alert and we must also be skilled in spiritual warfare. Recognizing the real enemy, we fight the real enemy. Our spiritual antennas, so to speak, must be up all the time. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. That's why we're called to be watchful. Our spiritual antennas must be up all the time. We need to learn to discern the enemy and to resist the enemy in spiritual warfare. In 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 9, 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 9 we read, resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And James 4 verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So, spiritual lethargy is very dangerous. Don't compromise on your personal time with God. Whatever happens, even if it is ministry. You know, we can get so involved in ministry, we can, in the process, forget our time alone with God. And that's very dangerous. That's very dangerous. And that's how many servants of God, great servants of God, have fallen, because they have neglected their own personal walk, personal time with God. Spiritual lethargy is dangerous. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 verses 11 to 12. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. The hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. I read again, Romans 13 verses 11 to 12. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. So, beware of spiritual lethargy. Wake up. The hour has come for you to wake from sleep. The battle against the enemy is very real, and we need to be skilled in warfare. Praise God, for he has given us his whole armor to be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. We need to consciously put this armor on and fight the real enemy. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 11 and 12. put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. When a Christian bends his knees and calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus, the enemy will flee. The Lord chose David and equipped him to fight the Lord's battles. And David protected the nation of Israel with the strength and the skill that God gave him, as the Lord directed him. And he also fought the Lord's battles as the Lord instructed him and gave him skill. Psalm 78 verses 70 to 72. Psalm 78, 70, 72. He chose David his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the nursing ewes, he brought him to shepherd Jacob his people, Israel his inheritance. With upright heart he shepherded them and guided them with a skillful hand. Now the battle against the enemy has been won for us on the cross. Our Savior left glory for this one purpose, and he cried the victory cry on the cross, "It is finished." We need to appropriate that victory by faith in our own lives. We also need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to minister deliverance and victory to those who are in need. And the world around us is in need. It's a weary world that is in bondage. People are in bondage to the enemy. That's why we find so much of wickedness and so much of violence and bloodshed and persecution of Christians. All of this is because they are blinded by the enemy and they are bound by the enemy. Today, you and I are more than conquerors in Christ. And we fight this battle against the enemy with the armor that God has given us. And the enemy might strike us physically. Even that can happen only if the Lord permits him to do so. Like he allowed the enemy to strike Job. But the enemy can never separate us from Christ. Romans chapter 8 verses 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The way we relate to the Lord determines how the Lord relates to us. Psalm 18 verses 25 to 27. With a merciful, you show yourself merciful. With a blameless man, you show yourself blameless. With the purified, you show yourself pure. And with the crooked, you make yourself seem tortuous. For you save a humble people, but the haughty eyes you bring down. David was merciful to Saul, and God was merciful to David. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. David was blameless. In other words, he was loyal. And God was faithful to him. God kept his promises and indeed blessed David. David was not sinless, but was blameless in his motives. The pure in heart are those whose hearts are dedicated to God. God purifies his children. Matthew chapter 5 verse 8. Matthew 5 verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What about King Saul? King Saul had been devious with his dealings with God. King Saul was also devious in his dealings with David and with the people. But David was honest and straightforward. Yes, early in his exile, David had lied. He lied to Ahimelech the priest. David was fleeing from Saul. When he came to Nob, 1 Samuel chapter 21 verses 1 to 2. Then David came to Nob to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech came to meet David trembling and said to him, why are you alone and no one with you? And David said to Ahimelech the priest, the king has charged me with a matter and said to me, let no one know anything of the matter about which I send you and with which I have charged you. I have made an appointment with the young men for such and such a place. That was a lie. And that lie was sneaked by Doeg, the Edomite, to Saul. And that was a dangerous thing, a wrong thing that David did. Ultimately, Ahimelech the priest and all the other priests were killed, slaughtered by Saul. David also lied to Achish, the king of Gath, in 1 Samuel 21, verses 10 to 15. He could have been killed in 1 Samuel 21, verses 10 to 15. And David rose and fled that day from Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, "Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing to one another of him in dances? Saul has struck down his thousands and David his 10,000s." And David took these words to heart and was much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them and pretended to be insane in their hands and made marks on the doors of the gate and let his spittle run down his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, "Behold, you see the man is mad. Why then have you brought him to me? Do I lack madmen that you have brought this fellow to behave as a madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" 1 Samuel 22 verses 1 to 2. David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress and everyone who was in debt and everyone who was bitter in soul gathered to him. And he became commander over them. And there were with him about 400 men. But you find this was the early, when he was in exile, early in his exile days. But then later on you find David, he soon learned that faith is living without scheming. Faith is living without scheming. Faith is just simply trusting God for deliverance. That's it. That's it. Simply trusting God for deliverance. Psalm 18 verse 26. With the purified you show yourself pure, and with the crooked you make yourself seem tortuous. Psalm 18 26 I read from the New King James Version. With the pure you show yourself pure, and with the devious you show yourself shrewd. And Psalm 86 verse 26 in the New American Standard Bible. With the pure you show yourself pure, and with the crooked you show yourself astute. Now the Hebrew word there is portal, which means, it means to twine, to struggle, or to be tortuous, to wrestle. And this reminds us of the way God dealt with Jacob. Genesis chapter 32 verses 24 to 28, remember. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Remember when he was asked that question earlier on by his father, he lied. But now, God dealt with him. And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." God's character and God's promises never change. How does God deal with us? He knows the motives of our hearts. And God's dealings with us are determined by the condition of our hearts. It's good for us to ask God to put his searchlight upon our lives and deal with the condition of our hearts. This is not introspection. It is asking God to put the searchlight upon our hearts. Asking God to search our hearts. That is the right thing to do. Psalm 130. Because if we search our own hearts, we will make excuses and we will find some excuse or the other. But when we ask God to search our hearts, he will bring conviction of the areas of sin in our lives. Psalm 139 verses 23 to 24. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So let every unconfessed sin be confessed and forsaken by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we can walk in the light that God gives us. in communion with him, we can walk with him. 1 John chapter 1 verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. 1 John chapter 1 verses 6 to 7 says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So cry out to the Lord. Where there is need to repent, repent. You see, he says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their evil ways. That's what God wants us to do. Then he says he will look down from heaven. He will forgive us of our sins and he will heal our land. So let's cry out to the Lord. Where we are wrong, ask God to search your heart. Wherever that searchlight is put on and sin is seen, confess it and forsake it. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we can. And we can walk in the light. And when we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God. We have fellowship with one another. And what happens? We get closer and closer to the heart of God. God reveals his burdens to us. We delight in him. He delights in us. He gives us the desires of our hearts because our heart's desires are his desires. He also teaches us how to fight the battle against the enemy. In fact, he fights for us and we will see the victory. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer?